go to the dentist and have my teeth examined and cleaned, because I've been told by my dentist, and I have no reason not to believe what my dentist says, that regular checkups are good for me. And a healthy mouth is a healthy body. So, and my doctor gets in there and does what he needs to do and fixes what's broken and those kinds of things, and that's good. My physician, my medical doctor, says that I need to get a physical every few years, and I do that. I go in and he measures and monitors what's going on with the rest of my body and gives me all sorts of tests, some that I don't want to talk about right now, but he gives them to me and checks how I'm doing. And he says that I'll live longer and I'll have a better quality of life if I do those kinds of things, regular checkups. So a physical is required, dental exams are required, those kind of things. But what about a spiritual? When's the last time you had a spiritual checkup? When's the last time to check to see how you're doing with God? How are you doing spiritually? You know, it's as real to who we are spiritually that we have a spiritual part of our makeup as we do physically or emotionally, psychologically. The spiritual dimension to our lives. And so we're going to take a look at what the Scripture says about different ways that we can measure how we're doing spiritually. And I'm going to use a physical part of our body to make the spiritual analogy, because that's what the Bible does as well. So we're going to be looking with that. And as I said at the beginning of the service, we're going to start at the top, because Satan wants to mess with your head. He wants to mess with your mind. He wants you to be distracted. He wants you to be discouraged. He wants you to be defeated. And we're going to show you how he tries to distract you, how he tries to discourage you, how he tries to defeat you in your relationship with God. So we're going to start at the top here. And as I said, we're going to do a checkup from the neck up and find out how we're doing inside of our heads. So here's the first point we want to look at this morning. Number one is this. Satan wants to get inside my head. Not just mine, but yours. That's why I put it in the first person singular in your notes, so that when you read your notes, you go back and read your notes. This is about you as much as it is about me and anybody else. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, if you don't have a Bible, there's a guest Bible available for you in the pew racks or the chair racks, the little book racks there in front of you. You can keep that Bible if you need a Bible. But if you turn to page 1024, you're right where we need to be. 2 Corinthians 11:3 says this, I fear that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your minds may be seduced from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. We want to begin with this just simple word deceived. It also means cheated. It can also be translated cheated. That's what the devil does. He cheats. He doesn't follow the rules because he doesn't care about the rules. The only thing that matters to him is that he wins. And what he wants for you is to do whatever you want to do. You don't necessarily have to do what he tells you to do. He doesn't really care about that. What he cares about is that you don't do what God wants you to do. He wants you to do anything else but be obedient to God. And so the devil's going to try to encourage you, tempt you, convince you to be autonomous, to make up your own mind about how you think life ought to be lived. Don't let anybody else tell you how to do it. You know, march to the beat of your own drum. Be the captain of your own ship. Do whatever you want to do. Do whatever you think is right. He wants you to be independent. Here's why. Because independence for you is victory for Satan. Because independence for you is independence from God. And that's what the devil wants. He doesn't care what you do as long as it is not what God wants you to do. Does that make sense so far? That's what he wants for you. He wants you to be independent. The first independent human was Eve in the Garden of Eden. And the devil got inside of her head and caused her to turn her back on God. How did he do that? Here's a perfect human living in a perfect environment with a perfect relationship with the perfect God. Satan got inside of her head and convinced her to go independent. Eve, you deserve to do whatever you want to do. Go for it. How did he do that? The same way he does it to me. The same way he does it to you. He gets into our head. I'm going to show you how he does that and how to keep him out. We see here that the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning. Cunning, interesting word. The literal translation is all working. He deceived Eve by his all working. And what the author of the scriptures here, the Apostle Paul, means by that is that the devil, when he came to tempting our first parents, he gave it everything he had. He threw the book at Eve, so to speak. And he tried everything. He went all in. And it worked. And he won. Notice Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. The word cunning appears again. This is back at the very beginning. This is about which the Apostle Paul is writing. In Genesis chapter 3, 1, it says, the serpent, as a physical manifestation of Satan or the devil, our enemy, he appeared to Adam and Eve, or to Eve in the Garden of Eden, and he was the most cunning of all the wild animals that the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, did God really say, you can't eat from any tree in the garden? But I want you to notice, and it's clear to see here, the way that the devil tries to get into our heads, listen carefully. This is at the heart of what I want to say this morning. Listen carefully. The way that the devil tries to get into our heads is he tempts us to question the Word of God. He tempts us to question what God has said authoritatively. Because if we can draw into question the Word of God, then we are questioning now the authority of God. And that is exactly what the devil tried with Eve. It was a victory for him, and it was a disaster for her and for every human being ever since. That's his tactic. Eve knew what God said. But the devil was trying to get her to believe that God, if he at least didn't say something else, well, he meant something else. So the question that I want to ask you, is this a true statement? Is this a true question from the evil one? Did God really say that you can't eat from any tree in the garden? Is that a true statement? It is a lie. That is not what God said. But there's just a little subtle twist, just a little subtle distraction, and that's all the devil's going to start with. Just a slight little distraction to get you to wonder, okay, what did God mean by what he said? When we're reading the Bible, when we hear people teaching, whatever it might be, did God really say that? We have people asking that question about marriage, about sexuality, about the authority of government. You name it. People, pastors and theologians too, are asking the question, did God really say this? We need to be careful. We need to be listening to what God is saying. Here's what he said. This is earlier in Genesis, a chapter earlier. The Lord God commanded the man, Adam, saying, this is what he said, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die. And what we're looking at here is the opposite of what God said, or what the devil said. This is the truth. This is the source. And what Eve is hearing is the report. She's not hearing what God said. She is listening to what the devil said about what God said. Huge problem in communication. We hear what other people say about what somebody else said instead of listening to what somebody else said. And that creates a lot of confusion and conflict and devastation. With this question that the devil is asking Eve, he lured her into a conversation. Shouldn't have been having that conversation with the devil. And then he's introducing some distractions and even a debate over what God said. And he's trying to get her to believe that God said something else. Now, this is an effective tactic for the devil. He still does it today. Why? Because it works. This is what he does. He gets us to question what God has said. And then he asks for our opinion. What do you think he said? What do you think God meant by what he said? Tell me what's on your mind. Tell me what you're thinking. I tell you what, our opinion doesn't matter. And that's not an opinion, it's a fact. What matters is what God has said. That's where we stay, with what God has said. And so Eve, and us as well, rather than talking to the devil about what God said, talk to God about what God said. Go back and check the scriptures. Go back and check his word. What does God have to say? Listen, when you want to know the truth, whether it's from God or anybody else, you can listen to the reports or you can listen to the source. And it's best to go wise. It's really the only responsible thing is to go to the source, because Eve was listening to the reports. She was listening to what the devil said about what God said, and it was twisted. It was not accurate. It was not true. It was not right. And so where's the authority? Is it in what the devil was saying? Is it in the report? Or is it in the source? Of course it's in the source. It's in what God said. And like Eve, when we listen to what other people have to say instead of about God and his word and truth, if we don't go to the source and check against the scriptures what God is saying is true, we're going to lose our objectivity about truth. And then what happens is the thing that matters is people's opinion about life and all the issues related to life. People's opinion don't matter. What matters is what God says about life and how to live it. If we start listening to the reports rather than the source, we start reacting emotionally rather than responding responsibly. It happens with politics. You know, it doesn't matter what letter you prefer in terms of your political party. You choose a variety of letters. It doesn't matter. But what you hear is somebody reporting what this person, that politician, that leader said, and it may not be accurate. There was a very clear incident of that happening this week. This is what this person said. It was twisted to say something else, and now the internet is exploding with people reacting to something that is not true. Why? They won't go to the source. They go to the reports. Stay away from the reports. Go to the source. It happens in marriage. It happens in relationships. It's hard to remain objective when we're listening to reports rather than the source. Let me tell you this. I think that every report is biased. My preaching is biased. Every report, every person is biased. We can't help that. It's just a part of who we are. It's part of our brokenness, I suppose. Whether politicians or theologians or whatever, I'm biased about my marriage. Joanne's biased about our marriage. And our biases are sometimes different. Doesn't mean that one is wrong and I'm right, or that Joanne's right and I'm wrong, which is usually the case. It just means we're different. So we go to the source, and the source of our marriage is us and our relationship with God. And so that's how we work out things, and that's a good thing. Here's the point. Eve knew the truth about God's will. She knew it. She knew the truth. But the devil caused her to begin to think differently about what she already knew was true, and he deceived her. He got into her head. He deceived her. Once he finds a little crack in your noggin or a little opening in your ear, whatever it might be, if he can find his way in there, just a little distraction is all he wants. He's going to work his way in, and then number two, Satan wants to corrupt my thinking. He wants to corrupt my thinking. The apostle wrote this, "I fear that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your minds may be seduced from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ." And if this were not possible, the apostle would not have written it. It is possible for Christians to be spiritually seduced by the evil one. And for that to affect our relationship with Christ, that is a victory for the enemy when it happens. This word seduced also means, can also be translated corrupted. Seduction happens when someone tries to get you to do something that you know is not right. Something that you wouldn't normally do. Something that violates your personal standards or ethical standards or morals or laws or whatever they might be. Eve knew what she could do in the garden and what she could not do in the garden. It was crystal clear in her perfect mind. But the devil engaged in a conversation and began to mess with her head, began to mess with her mind. And her mind began to become corrupted. Listen, you're in big trouble when your computer hard drive is corrupted by a bad sector. And some of you are nodding, yep, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. You're also in big trouble with your computer if your operating system is corrupted by a virus. Some of you have experienced that. You've lost everything on your computers. But we are in bigger trouble when our mind is corrupted. When something goes wrong here, that's the target. That's where the devil is going. And so that's where he was going with Eve. He wanted to corrupt her mind, and he wants to corrupt yours also. He wants to insert bad code, so to speak. He wants to mess with your mind and corrupt your thinking. How did he do that with Eve? How did he do it? How does he do it with us? Well, initially it begins by questioning, causing us to question the accuracy and therefore the authority of God's word, the scriptures, which is a standard of truth for life and faith. And so with that question that the enemy brought before Eve, she engaged in a conversation. And as I mentioned just briefly a moment ago, that led to him asking her about her opinion. Eve, what do you think about what God said? Did he really say this? And it's not just a rhetorical question. He wants a response. He wants to hear what Eve has to think about this. And the devil, in essence, is saying, Eve, I know you believe what you think you heard. But what did he really say? Are you sure that you heard it correctly? And so I want you to notice in her response that she disagreed with the devil. She disagreed with what he was saying. But then she also added to what God said. Take a look. Notice this. The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat from the fruit of the trees in the garden." That's true. The devil said, "You're not allowed to eat from any tree of any fruit." And she said, "That's not true. Here's what's true. God said we can do that. But about the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, God said, you must not eat it. That's true. Or touch it." God never said that. God never said that. She's adding to God's word. "Or you will die." God said that. Now, why did she add to it? The same reason we do. Knowingly or unknowingly, there is a boundary in which God wants us to live, and we don't want to go beyond that boundary. And so in order to keep us within this boundary of where God wants us to live, we build fences inside those boundaries that are man-made laws and rules and regulations and legalism, and start living by our rules instead of living in the freedom of God's rules. It started in the garden. If something is left off limits, it's not a bad idea not to touch it. I don't have a problem with that, but don't quote God as saying that this is what he told you. So she's adding to the word of God. And the devil doesn't care whether or not you add to the scriptures. He doesn't care. What he doesn't want you to do is to believe the scriptures. He doesn't want you to obey the scriptures. You can do anything you want, but don't obey God. That's the last thing he wants. Is this making sense? You tracking with me on this? And so that's what's happening right now. And so in response, the devil comes out and flat out calls God a liar. Notice this. No. He's disagreeing with God. "You will not die," That is not what God said. God said, you will die. So now he's calling God a liar. The serpent said to the woman, in fact, God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. True or false? True. True. It was a part of the warning in the garden. God said, don't eat from this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the reason he said that is, I don't want you to know about evil. I want to keep you away from evil. I've seen it, is what God is saying. I don't want your eyes to go there. I don't want you to see how ugly and evil is. Because when you do see how ugly and evil is, you will have seen what I have seen, and it is bad news. Now, in that way, yes, we become like God, but not in all ways. God knows what good is. God knows what evil is. He's seen it. He saw it before Adam and Eve did. He is trying to protect the people that he loves. God is. That's why he gives us boundaries. Because with boundaries comes freedom. And the devil is saying, you don't need boundaries. You deserve to make up your own mind about how you want to live your life, and you can do whatever you want to do. And Eve is thinking, that's pretty appealing. You know why Satan got in so much trouble with God? While he was still in heaven, Satan, who was an angel at that time, a good angel, said, I want to be like God. The Lloyd paraphrase, he looked at the throne and he says, excuse me, I think you're sitting in my chair. He wanted to be like God. God said, I'm not going to tolerate it. And what is it, the lure that he throws at humans? You know what? You can be like God. And some even believe you can become a God. That's nowhere found in the scriptures. That's found in terms of what our purpose and pattern and plan is. We do find it in the scriptures when Lucifer was thrown out of heaven and Adam and Eve were thrown out of the garden. It's because all three of them wanted to be like God. Now, we need to be God-like, but in the right way. This was in their own efforts to become something that God said that he didn't want them to become. So we need to be careful about that. Eve was first distracted by this question, did God really say? And then she was disoriented through this discussion, listening to what the devil had to say about what God said instead of what God said about what God said. And now she's drinking the Kool-Aid. She's poisoned. Her mind is corrupted. So the woman saw that the tree was good for food and delightful to look at, and that it was desirable for obtaining wisdom. True or false? True. But it's off limits. So she took some of its fruit and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Here's what I want you to note about the way that she was tempted. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Read about that in 1 John. That's how we're tempted. You read in Matthew chapter 4. That's how Jesus was tempted. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. And my dad is not even close to being like the devil, but let me just tell you this. Now that you're listening, I bought a license plate frame. We'll make up after church, okay? Hey, I bought you breakfast yesterday. I'm already ahead. I bought my dad a license plate frame that says, if it works, don't fix it. That's kind of like how Satan operates too. I'm sorry. When he tempts us. If he can tempt us and lure us away from the accuracy and the authority of God's word by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, why would he do anything different? It's working. We can shut that down by being aware of what he's doing. The Bible says we're not to be ignorant of his schemes, the devil's plan, his plot, literally his schematic, his plan for taking you down. We're not to be ignorant of that in any way. Satan wants to obliterate divine boundaries. He wants to tempt us with the idea that we can decide for ourselves what is best. He wants to convince us that we deserve to be autonomous. And God has clearly said things about life, about creation, about marriage, about sexuality, and on and on and on. And if we listen to the reports rather than the source, our minds are going to be corrupted. In the world's mind, the world's thinking about these matters and many more is corrupt. Why? Because they're not listening to God. They don't care what God says. They don't care. Number three, God wants my faith to be simple. Simple. Back to 2 Corinthians 11:3. The apostle is writing and he says, I fear that as a serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your minds may be seduced from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. That word sincere, as you can see, literally means to be braided as one. Braided as one. The idea here is that our faith, our devotion to Christ ought to be undivided. That there is to be intimacy with the Almighty. That there is to be union with Christ. Wholehearted devotion to Him. And if and when we wander from Christ and things get complex and messy, or we have a broken relationship with God or with others, it is because somewhere along the lines this braid begins to unravel. First in our relationship with God. Warren Wiersbe wrote this, a divided heart leads to a defiled life and a destroyed relationship. First vertically and then horizontally. And this is what the devil accomplished in the Garden of Eden. And it's what he wants to do in your life, in your marriage, in your family, in your church, in your community, in your nation, in this world. It's what he wants to do. Everywhere he wants to do it. And so his preferred tactic, his preferred method for destroying the will of God is to get into our heads. And the reason he tries to do that is because he knows it is so effective. He gets into our heads by tempting us to question God's word and to question God's authority. And as I said earlier, the devil's only looking for a small distraction. That's all he wants from you is just a little, huh? Just to get you off focus for just a moment. And then have a little chit-chat. Just have a little talk. Let's talk about what God says about something. And then he's going to want to hear your opinion. What do you think God means by what he said? Listen, our opinions don't matter. Our opinions don't matter. What matters is that we focus on the facts. What has God said is true. That's where we stay. That's what we mean here at West Hill Church by being committed to biblical integrity. That's what we mean by it. Every opinion carries a bias. And then don't spin the truth. Every report carries a bias. Listen to the source, not the reports. Listen to what God says. If you want to know what God or somebody else has to say about something, go to that person and ask them. Don't ask somebody else what they think about what somebody else said. Don't go to somebody else and ask what they think about what somebody else means. Go to the source. That's the problem that started in the Garden of Eden. And the human race has been a disaster ever since. Now, we're in the process of being redeemed. Things are in the process of being restored. That's one of the reasons God has put his church on the earth, is to be people of truth, people of pure-hearted devotion to Christ, to be singular in our devotion and our focus on him. And so that's where we start in this spiritual checkup. And we're going to look through the rest of this series of what God has to say about these things. And that's where we're going to stop, is with what God has to say about these things. You know, sometimes we get a physical or we get a dental exam, we say, you know, I'm going to get a second opinion. You don't need a second opinion with God. There's one opinion. He's recorded it in His Word, and it's not even an opinion. It's a fact. It's truth. And so throughout this series, as with any message that is ever preached or taught here at West Hill Church, any Bible study ever taught, any spiritual discussion, check it against the Scriptures. Don't believe it just because I'm saying it, or Pastor David, or any of the other pastors here, or any teacher, any small group leader. The authority is not in what I say or anybody else. The authority alone is what God says in His Word. Period. Period. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You for Your love for us and how You have clearly revealed to us everything pertaining to life and godliness in the Scriptures. And we don't need a second opinion about anything regarding our faith and how to live it, how to walk with You, how to be right with You, how to be right with other people. We don't need all the self-help books and Dr. Phil and all these other people. We need the Spirit of God who dwells within us. We need Jesus Christ, who is our good shepherd, who leads us and feeds us and guides us and guards us. And we need You as our Father, who reveals His will, Your plan, and Your purpose. And it's recorded for us in the Scriptures. We don't need anything else. And it's not naive to believe that. It's not simplistic, but it is simple. And that's the way You want it to be. I'm so grateful that when Jesus taught, He kept it simple. That's how we ought to be as well. Singularly focused on You, God. Listening to the voice of the Master, You alone, as You speak to us through Your Word, through Your Spirit. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.